Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show tonight. Almost didn't make this one. Been kind of under the weather and all that, but figured show must go on, right? I suppose I'll let everyone know, last couple days I've been feeling really crappy. Turns out that Lisa and I have COVID. I should be wearing my mask right now, right? I don't want to get everybody sick. But it's been kind of fun. Wasn't sure we were going to be able to do it. So luckily I didn't get it as bad as Lisa. Not luckily for her. But it is annoying as hell. I'll say that. But at least it's not monkeypox, right? Oh, I think you're muted.
Maybe you just have the early stages of the monkeypox.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's not the monkeypox. Kind of funny because when that first started coming out, we talked about it on one show, and we haven't talked about it since because a lot of stuff has come out about how you get monkeypox and all that. And I'm thinking that our audience probably not a lot to worry about. So I
believe, and this is just in talking to other people, though, that monkeypox, it's already had a variation happen, but the variation that happened was to its DNA. No one's really quite sure how a DNA thing just randomly happens in nature outside of, you know, outside of the natural laboratory of Wuhan, China, or somewhere like that. So it's still floating around, man. Still floating around.
Yeah, us crazy-ass conspiracy theorists, we don't know what the hell we're talking about, but all this stuff, it just seems awful convenient that all this stuff is happening. But at any rate, tonight's show may be a little bit shorter than the normal shows. We'll see how I'm feeling through the show, but I figured we'll get through it and do this stuff. We aren't going to have an after show tonight for the members, but we will be doing that, the meeting next week. We've got Sky wants to share her bug out bag and stuff, so that should be pretty fun. But we are going to talk about tonight. We've got the final episode of Doomsday Preppers that we're going to be going over. My internet for some reason is being stupid, so we'll just wait here for a second. But we've got the second episode of Doomsday Preppers that we're going to be going over, the last. How the hell do I say this? We've got the last contestant on episode 5 of Doomsday Preppers, which was kind of a lackluster episode all in all. I mean, the only one I can really remember is the chick from Utah. That was a complete joke. I think also there was was that the last episode? The one where she was taking her stuff door to door, giving her pandemic kits out. I think that was the one before this, right? But at any rate, this one is pretty good. This guy's does some bushcraft stuff, and actually they did a good job of trying to make him look a little bit crazy. But honestly, I think the guy's pretty straightforward and set up. So, and then also because of the crazy ass comments from Biden and I think it's Sullivan or whoever about the liberal world order. I did want to talk about that and some of the, and by the way, I'd be just as upset about this crap if somebody like Trump said the conservative world order. It's crazy that came out into the open. It's like almost like something you hear on Hannity, and then all these people at MSNBC and CNN would be going, oh, that's just crazy. I can't believe he said that. But no, it was Sullivan, so. But what I want to talk about mainly with that is the other stuff that we're already seeing kind of headed that direction. And because a lot of these governments are liberal, we are kind of seeing that stuff play out. So even though they probably weren't supposed to say it out loud, it's not like it's not the truth, you know?
Yeah. Maybe it's another red herring too, you know? Like, because again, it's, if you don't, you know, like you said, it's the conservative has their side too and they do it. So I think it's still, it's that, oh yeah, we're divided. Keep people divided. No, man, they're all the same.
Yeah,
they're all moving for the same end goals.
Yeah, and it's basically them on top and us doing their bidding. Which I've got a quote in when we go through this Doomsday Preppers guy, the article that wrote about this guy, I've got a quote from him and talks about what his life, which kind of plays into that as well. So I suppose what we'll do is we'll get started with this Doomsday Preppers episode. Like I said, this one was pretty cool. This guy is preparing, or was, I'm sure he still is, but 10 years ago he was talking about how he's planning for overpopulation and all that. And planning on, because of that, there'd be food shortages and water shortages and all that. Let me play this first clip here real quick, and then we'll get into what this guy's whole deal is.
Overpopulation reaches critical mass, soils will be depleted and turn into deserts. Once those deserts establish themselves, it's irreversible. Giant dust clouds turning the sky red for days will cover the landscape. What's going to happen? Massive food riots in the streets, violence. A gallon of water would cost more than a gallon of gas.
Did you see that the gas prices?
$3.53 a gallon, man.
Yeah, I knew that you'd be looking
at
that.
And you know what, though? He might be right here down the road about the gallon of water costing more than a gallon of gas. I mean, look what's going out on the West Coast. I mean, there's a great... It's like Southern Nevada or Lost Sin City Outdoors or something along those lines is the name of the YouTube channel. It's two guys that did bass fishing on Lake Mead. And now their whole channel is showing how like fast Lake Mead is dropping and like just drying up. It's pretty interesting to see if people want to get a good picture of what the West, you know, so you might see that. I don't think that's out of the realm of speculation.
Yeah, and it's funny because in that clip I played of the dude surf or wakeboarding or whatever he was doing, water skiing, that was, I think it was Lake Mead, and I looked at the water level and I was like, oh, it's like double where it is now. But yeah, I mean, I can...
Oh, dude,
go ahead.
They've been showing, you know, they've had this thing where they've been showing boats out of water. Well, those boats that they've been showing out of water like a month ago are now like way... up on the shore they're really out of water now, and it's just shrinking more and more and more. And so they don't want to do anything about the population that they keep pushing into Las Vegas and the Southwest, knowing that at some point they're going to run out of water, right? Yeah. They're going to have to take water from the rest of the country, whatever the fuck they're going to do. And all those people, like, then what's going to happen with their houses and everything? Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and I've read some things on this because there's scientists that say that, like, right now, the tipping point, I guess, for overpopulation would be about 10 billion, I think. And right now we're at 7.75 or something like that. But I've also read that scientists believe that by 2040 or something, we're going to level off, which I don't honestly see how that happens, but who knows? But you never know.
There's a guy that I can't remember his name right now, but he's been breaking things down about population wise. And he says China is in a world of trouble because of China's one child policy. They literally don't have a generation of people. Like they're missing a generation of people because that one child thing, there's no one for them to mate with. So they're not having like their population shrinking. Same thing with Russia. And they're going to be in a world of hurt here in a few years, I think, maybe 10, 20 years down the road. Because they just don't, their population is actually going to, they're going to have trouble maintaining their population growth.
Yeah.
And having people do their manufacturing and all that. They're going to have a tough time down the road.
Didn't they just end that one child policy recently? I can't remember if they did or not, or
nationwide. They did a while back, but some cities still have it because it's part of your ESG score in some cities, right? Your social credit score in some cities. I was talking to a friend who has a good friend from China, and they had to flee the country because they accidentally had a second kid and they lost their jobs. They lost their apartment, all that stuff, the whole social credit score. And so they had to basically flee to the United States because they had a second kid.
Gotcha. And see, we don't have that problem here because all we got to do is open up the southern border like it is. That's instant population right there. So, we'll see. But I think there's all, I mean, we've talked about food shortages and all of that a lot here recently. And I think there's a lot of other things other than the overpopulation that could and might actually cause that here in the near future. This is also probably one of those things where doomsday preppers told him to pick something, and this was kind of what it was. Because there was a few things in the show, and we'll go over them, that they almost like this guy was too boring, and they were like, we need to spice this up because you're just too normal. So we're going to put you in your deerskin outfit, and we're going to make one of your kids be a complete little shithead, and you know, all that stuff to add the drama to it, where this guy is just normal.
And what he said, you know, like what he says about the, you know, about basically he goes back to the Great Dust Bowl. Right. And that's what he says, you know, we're heading back down towards the Great Dust Bowl. And well, it happened once, you know, the great Dust Bowl happened back about the same time we have this whole Great Depression thing and all that leading and all that. So I don't know. Maybe he's right. Would you be shocked if he was right now?
No. Not at all. Like I said, this show was a little bit lackluster, this whole episode of Doomsday Preppers. But this guy, I mean, because of the weak stuff surrounding him, this guy came off as one of the better contestants on the show. So, but no, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Another thing that is cool about this guy is all the skills he has. He's into bushcraft. He's a Marine, and he's been teaching bushcraft for about 20 years. So he really knows his stuff, which is a fantastic skill to have. I think he lives in Maine, which is, I don't know much about Maine as far as weather. I assume it's, you know, sort of like Washington State, and, you know, and it's got the wintertime, and then the summer and spring are real wet.
Did you say he was a Marine?
Yeah.
He has a high likelihood of contracting monkeypox then. Possibly.
I knew there was some sort of Marine joke coming. You can say that. I can't. But yeah, he's got it going on as far as all this stuff. He's got a really cool, I guess he's got 400 gallons of water storage, and he's got some water catchment stuff, which again, it's location. If you're in that location where it's really wet, that's going to work for you. If you're in Arizona, Las Vegas, you know, New Mexico, all that stuff, water catchment probably isn't going to do a whole lot. So you're gonna have to do other stuff for that. Out here in Colorado, you would think it would be kind of a good idea, but it's really hit or miss. I mean, it's been so dry.
What are the water catchment laws in Colorado?
It used to be where you couldn't do it. They recently changed that to where now you can. Probably because good luck. I mean, maybe 1 or 2 months out of the year you can catch it, and then it's going to be dry for 2 months. So, but he's got a cool setup. He's got farming, even though in the show they showed him farming and it looked like he was just, you know, raking weeds. So I don't know what that was all about, but he's got like 20 acres and stuff, so he's got plenty of room to do a lot of stuff, and I'm sure he does. One of the things that kind of got me with this, though, after all of that stuff, was his security plan, because it's fairly interesting. If you're talking about overpopulation and you're talking about the food shortage and all that stuff, and granted, he lives in a rural area, so probably not going to have to deal with a lot of population. But a security plan, I want to get your thoughts on. It seems kind of, I mean, he's thinking about it, so it's good. He's a Marine, that's good. But there's some things that I'm just not quite sure about. Let me play this little clip right here where he's talking about, which is kind of a cool idea. He's talking about using the birds, the sound of the birds, to alert him of intruders and stuff like that, which is kind of a good idea because you can tell when squirrels are in alert stage, when different birds are. But again, I don't know that I would depend on that. Let me play this real quick, though.
Out here in the rural areas, people are going to be spilling out to take what farmers have. I'm not going to allow my family to be a target. I've had the opportunity to play with thermal imagery cameras, motion detectors, early detection systems of all kinds. You know what I use? Bird feeders.
So, good, I suppose. I mean, it's just like we have dogs. Dogs are a great alert system. When something's happening, you're not quite sure what it is, but you know something's happening because they're being loud. Same with squirrels and birds and stuff like that. My thing, though, is if you can use that other stuff, why not? I mean, if that technology is there. And the other thing is people running to the rural areas. I don't know about that either. What are your thoughts on that?
Where they, if they leave the city, where are they going? The other city area? I mean, I think it's going to happen by default. If things ever got that bad, you know, when the cities run unsustainable, I think of course that would happen. But yeah, you're right. No, you don't give up. You don't give up technology if you have other means. Use that as overlapping means of support, right? You know, you have you should use the sound of the animals. It's one of the things you do if you ever get off of a, you know, you go somewhere and you start off at a new spot or whatever. You're getting ready to, you stop moving for a second. Stop. It's still stop, look, listen, and smell, right? You want to stop. You want to look around. You want to listen. Does anything sound out of the ordinary? Yeah. Can you smell anything? Can you, you know, is there anything going on? That's what you're using your senses for. So I think you always want to do that. And him having a bunch of birds, well, that you might know, you know, when some stuff's going on by with the birds that you have around your house. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Maybe they help.
I think it's a cool thing to teach your kids too, to have that knowledge and the skills and all that stuff. I think it's great to be able to do that and teach your kids, because it does also by paying attention to that stuff, it does increase that situational awareness too, because you are paying attention to that. Whenever we go camping, I'm always paying attention to what the other animals are doing and whether they're freaking out or not, or, you know, cause you don't know if there's a mountain lion stalking you or, you know, what's going on. So the more you pay attention to all that stuff, the better. I would just, you know, if you have the ability to have some other stuff as well, some other early warning systems and stuff, you know, I would probably do that too, but that's a skill a lot of people don't have, or a lot of people don't think about, is paying attention to all that stuff. The other thing that I didn't, let me play this, this right here, talked about not having any guns. And I was like, eh, I mean, to each their own, I suppose, but yeah, let me just play this clip and then we can talk about it.
Most preppers stock up on firearms for self-defense, but Michael does not possess guns. He believes that overpopulation would cause ammunition to become a finite resource, and he does not want to be dependent on it.
You don't need to rely on bright, shiny objects like knives and other, you know, guns. Instead, plug into the landscape to see what it can offer you.
Instead, his lethal weapon of choice is made simply from an oak tree and a railroad spike.
Now, I will say, I don't know how much of this was put together by Doomsday Preppers and how much he didn't want to say and all that. But my thoughts on the whole subject is, why not start with a pretty good stockpile? I mean, the hatchets and all that, those skills are great, but what's that?
That's some stupid shit right there. I mean, if that was, you know, if that was the case, like, oh yeah, I don't need to have my rifle, because there's going to be people with all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a force multiple. Okay, you got your hatchet, and they have the thing that shoots a lot of bullets at you. I mean, you know, it's a reason why the number one weapon that's issued in the military these days isn't a fucking hatchet.
Yeah. He also had there was a segment in there where they were basically, he was teaching his kids to throw a stick to kill small game, and I'm like, all it takes is some 22 ammo, you know, and not a lot of it.
I mean, I think that'd be cool. Like if you were good enough with a stick that you can throw a stick and kill and, you know, get yourself a little rabbit for dinner or something like that. I think that'd be a good skill to have.
Yeah. You better hope you're really good at gardening, I think, because you better be really good at that skill, because you try to.
Are you projecting on your stick throwing abilities?
Yeah, I think I am. I'm imagining myself out in the front yard throwing sticks at rabbits, and my neighbors watching me, videotaping me doing it. That's what I'm picturing. Yeah. And whereas I could just grab it, even a pellet gun. I mean, I don't know. But again, you know, if all else fails, and he is that bushcraft guy, so that's where he's going to go to that primitive stuff first, and then, you know, the other stuff. But and he talked about the shiny things like knives.
I bet you would get a lot. If it came down to throwing sticks for food, I bet you'd get a lot quicker.
Yeah, and I'd be chewing on the stick instead of throwing it, because I'd be freaking starving it, because it would never happen. I'd be eating ants and bugs and all that crap. But But I just thought it was it. Or there's even like black powder. You can make your own ammunition and stuff like that. If you're worried about something that's going to last that long, like you said, you're going to need more than a hatchet. If you're worried about something that lasts long enough where people are going to be coming to your doorstep out into rural areas, because it would take a while for people would not leave the city until all the resources were depleted, until there was absolutely no chance that there was something coming there, because the cities are where the support is going to be for the most part. And until people figured out that nothing's coming and we need to, you know, venture out, I think that's when you have to worry about that stuff. So you're talking about,
I think, you know,
large
what,
scale.
If you're going to go the hatchet route, start with a bow, man. Do something that gives you some standoff against somebody.
Yeah.
A hatchet, you got to get up close and personal. And, you know, maybe they're having a better hatchet day than you are. So,
yeah, his son was pretty good with it. I will admit, I mean, he was doing all that spinny shit, but
Here's a question for you. How did the hatchet work out against the gun for the last group of people that were going primary with the hatchet here in the United States?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
They got fucked. Don't use a hatchet.
Yeah. And unless you've got a belt full of hatchets, you know, you got one shot. What if it's eight dudes? So, yeah, I get it.
Right.
And also new martial arts and stuff like that. So all that stuff is good. I just don't know about depending on all that stuff. It's all good stuff to learn and good stuff to know. He's teaching his kids about intruders and stuff. He'd sneak up, like it said in there, once or twice a day. He'd sneak up on his kids and see how they'd react and do all that training and stuff, which is cool, too. But, you know, I don't know. I think that's maybe it was the show, maybe it was him. I think there's too much bushcraft and not enough survival in the whole thing. To me, is what it seemed like.
Yeah, but you know, I think too. With, you know, we've talked about this over and over again. Doomsday preppers, they always make it a little bit more livelier than it tends to be. I mean, you know, hey, if that guy goes around in his buckskins every day doing his thing, hey, more power to him. And Would I think that Doomsday Preppers would probably try to get somebody to wear their buckskins and look all, you know, grizzly Adamed out? I think that might be the case too.
Yeah, and this article right here actually goes into that, and I have a link to it below, talking about how how they basically wanted his kid to act like he just wasn't into it. So they made it more of an issue than it actually was, whereas kids are actually into it. This guy says he's in his Facebook group and all that, doesn't walk around in his buckskins and all that stuff all the time. So, yeah, they completely played it up. One thing in that article, though, that I thought was pretty interesting, I'm going to get your thoughts on this, too, but towards the end of that article, he talked about the definition of survive, to remain alive or in existence. And this is kind of interesting for the show and what we're going to be talking about next is, are we alive? Do we know what survival really is? I think he made a jump between what the definition of survival is and alive, but still. We can't be alive as long as our lives, almost every aspect of them are controlled by others. They convince us to work, to buy things we don't need, to alienate ourselves from others, to dominate and compete, to mow the lawn. We dream their dreams without ever imagining our own. Their desires are fulfilled while we die sick and alone, never content but not knowing why. If we are not alive, if our lives are not in our own hands, then what are we? We are domesticated like a plant that grows to fit the mold and then usurped. I thought this was pretty interesting because as we talk about this other stuff coming up, that is kind of how preppers live, right? I mean, we choose to do what we're doing. You've got that look like you're going to call bullshit on it.
I mean, you know, it's nice that he thinks that way, that he's like free and living the Tinkerbell life out there in the fucking woods waiting for Peter Pan to show the fuck up. But I mean, you know, it's like we're domesticated. Well, you know what? Okay, let's get rid of all the laws. Let's get rid of all the fucking rules and let's see how that works out. You know, it's not doesn't work out. You have to be domesticated in a way for society to get along. Otherwise, we all kick each other's asses. We take what each other has and we're back to fucking, you know, some, you know, anarchy kind of shit. So that domesticated, yeah, we try to get along as best we can. Now, we can bitch about what we can consider an acceptable level of freedom or not, but I think this is one of those, you know, kind of existential things that, like, you know, hey, it's, yeah, we should all just live our own lives and frolic and be free. Okay, that's great, but it doesn't fucking necessarily work.
Yeah, I think there's some middle ground with all of that, though, that in between that, you know, live completely free, the anarchy thing, and the, you know, completely domesticated, because there are a lot of people that need, that want that structure, and that their lives being, them being told exactly how to do things and what to do and fit into society. And I think as preppers, we're kind of like on the outside of society because we don't fit nice and neat into that little mold.
You file your fucking income taxes?
Yeah. I'm talking the middle ground. You're going the extremes rebel. Here. I'm talking...
You fucking rebel.
You know, the very fact that we have this show proves that we're not falling in line. If we did, then we'd have a show. We'd be talking about kittens and puppies and shit like that. But we're not. We're talking about how much bullshit all of this corporate, the government, the corporations, and all this bullshit is. So... Well, you know, if you think we fit nice and neat into that little mold, you're talking about anarchy. That's my feelings on it anyway. I'm not the type that lives in the suburbs and all that and does, you know, do the 9-to-5 and do all that crap. So I think there is a point to what he was saying that's in the middle of you going to the two extremes is all I'm saying. And if we continue to just do exactly as the government says, then we get what we get, and we deserve it.
You really think all that?
What's that?
Nothing. I'm just fucking with you, dude.
I know you are. But yeah, I do think all that. Because if we don't, if there's nothing to stop them, if there's no pushback, what's to stop them? Nothing. So there's got to be people pushing back.
It gets back to the issue that we're not even, I believe, in the top 20 of freest countries when you look at like different polls or whatever, different studies that they do to determine who are the most free countries. So, you know, we roll around, especially this weekend, the July 4th weekend, with like, hey, there's our flag. It's all about independence and all this shit. Well, really? Like how free are we truly? You know, like this guy, if you want to be that free, okay. But like, you know, we see what happens. I mean, the fact that we when we do this show, we understand like, hey, we might get shut down. Like the other times we've been shut down because of the censorship and all the shit that's going on in the country right now. So, you know, how free are we really?
Yeah. Well, his definition of it, I mean, anybody can do that if they want. And this was written by the author of the thing, not the guy on Doomsday Preppers. But yeah. Anybody can do that if they want. But a lot of people, well, you can if you want, but a lot of people don't have the means to do that stuff. You can go be a recluse in the middle of nowhere and disconnect from society altogether. A lot of people don't have that option. A lot of people have families, they have jobs, and need to somewhat be part of the system. And, you know, and you've got to be a contributing member of society. Otherwise, society breaks down. But it doesn't have to be that cookie cutter lifestyle. It doesn't have to be exactly what the powerful and the, you know, the governments and all that say. Because they've proven time and time again, they're full of shit. So, but that kind of goes into what we're going to talk about with talking about being full of shit. Biden talking about he was in, I've got this article with his buddy, Jake Sullivan. First off, he was in wherever he was over in Europe talking about how long is this stuff going to go on? And he basically said, as long as it takes, as long as Ukraine's still going to accept the money we're going to give them, we're going to keep on doing this, and you're just going to have to deal with the high gas prices. I think he threw almost another billion at them just the other day, too. But then his advisor, or whoever he is, Sullivan, called it the liberal world order, and talking about how we need to do this stuff to ensure that the liberal world order kind of keeps moving forward. Now, like I said in the beginning of the show, I would be just as concerned if somebody else said the conservative world order, because anytime you go one direction or the other too far, you're bound for trouble. What were your thoughts when he said this? Was it something? Was it a slip? Was it something that is just getting blown up, or a combination of both?
You know what, man? I mean, I think now we're at the point, if everybody gets like, oh, look what he said. It's like, dude, what do you expect? I mean, like, do you expect that they're not believing this? Like, this is what they're pushing. I mean, I think that they're all pushing one form of agenda or another that makes the establishment more powerful. So Is it the liberal world order? Is it some of the new world order? Whatever. It's a world order that they're pushing. It doesn't really have us in it. So I think that, you know, that all the blow up over it and people getting all fired up, I think it's kind of, I think it's sort of a waste of time. It's like, of course they're thinking this. They act like it all the time. Why wouldn't they, you know, think it just because they said it out loud?
That's the problem, though, I think, is the fact that they're saying all sorts of stuff out loud that they've never said before. Like I said in the beginning of the show, if this would have been Tucker Carlson or Hannity saying this, the other news agencies would have been all over it talking shit. But this was a, you know, I think it's their, I don't know if it's narcissism. I don't know if it's just they're so immersed in their bubble that that they believe that everybody in the world believes this. But it just it's concerning that they're just so willing to just come out with this stuff. They're so willing to do the things that they're doing all for the greater good. And I think that's kind of where a lot of things are heading around the world. And hopefully people, and it seems like people are starting to see it. You saw when times are good, these governments are great. When times get tough, you saw this during the pandemic and stuff. That's when you see the news starting to tide a little bit. And that's when you see their true colors start to come out. And I think people are starting to realize that, like people in Australia, people all around the world, all around Europe, here in the United States, Canada, all starting to see that these governments, these liberal governments are, they give this, the like the World Economic Forum, they give you all these sunshine and roses and all this stuff. But behind the scenes, it's still about power.
But are they really liberal governments, though?
What's that?
Using the liberal, they're liberal. They're not liberal, though. They're conservative. I mean, they are really conservative. The shit they're doing is all about the establishment. The shit they're doing is all about fucking corporations. It's all about gathering power. The liberal thing, I think it's a waste of a moniker on them. I think, you know, again, it's about they're all doing the same shit. You know, it just happens to be this guy said the new liberal world order. And so everybody goes down that. I think it's just their world order. They're trying to put things into the order that they want it to be in. And it involves all of them being in power and all of us not being in power.
It's what they have to choose to label themselves to get other people to, because there's a difference in my opinion from liberal people and liberal politicians. There's a huge difference. And same thing with conservatives and conservative politicians. Cause I don't know the politicians could give a shit one way or the other. And this is worldwide, not just here. They give a shit about getting in there. That's what they care about. And then once they're in there, they have that power. It's not about country. It's not about, you know, building the country up and making the country better than it was when you got there. It's not what it's about with these politicians these days. These days, it's about them gaining power and getting more power and controlling that stuff. There's a few things that I wanted to go through with this, that the things that we're seeing that kind of go into this, this whole idea of this new world order. And this is, it's kind of funny because George Bush was the one that coined the, you know, the new world order phrase and all that stuff. And back then it was, and sometimes it still is, it was considered a conspiracy theory. And we're seeing all this stuff play out, you know, to the point where it absolutely is maybe it's not one world government, but it's the world working in concert to get all this stuff, this liberal world order, like he was talking about, because you do see all of that stuff. You see all these G7s and NATO and all this stuff going on with all these westernized countries trying to work together, trying to be bigger and badder. And I don't see it working out good. And maybe that's just my outlook on it is that negative outlook. But I think they feed you a bill of goods, and that bill of goods makes everybody want to vote for them. But what really happens, I think, is a different story. And I think that's what people need to be leery of. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Oh, no. I mean, it's the same shit that we talk about every week with this stuff. Right. You got the groups at the top doing the shit they're doing. You know, we sit here and we go back and forth. Well, whether it's liberal or conservative, but at the end of the day, it's the same old song and dance, rinse and repeat. That's all we're fucking getting. That's part of the problem with what's going on in the world right now. Right. It's the same. Everybody's watching this bullshit fucking kabuki bukkake theater that's happening right in front of them. And it's the same old rinse and repeat that they're doing. It's, you know, watching Biden get up there and like, oh yeah, it's Putin's gas prices, dude. They've been going on since before Putin started, all like blaming everything on Putin over and over again, you know, falling off the bike. They go out there, let's make our president look strong and virile. Let's throw him on a bike. He falls off and eats shit. No, that's not what happened. It's like the lies and the shit are so much in front of us right now. I don't think it, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It just kind of gets frustrating. You know, you look at it and you're like, holy fuck. Like, when are you assholes going to back off? And they're not. Like, you start asking people more and more. It's like, we've done the, you know, we did the video last week on, you know, is it a civil war 2.0? You know, is it a cold civil war and stuff like that? But that's where they're pushing all of us, and none of them are backing off. And it just watching the stuff that we talk about over and over is just a rinse. And it's not a rinse and repeat on what we're talking about. It's a rinse and repeat of their tactics. Throw some more insane shit out there. Let everybody get all fucking worked up while we just keep driving down this road. You know, fucking gas prices out of control. The inflation out, you know, running amok. Them trying to, we may not be going into a recession. Like, literally everything is shitty. And none of them want to own it. None of them want to take it. They just need to, they keep telling us. What do they keep telling us, right? Oh, you guys just, yeah, it's just going to suck. Gas prices are going to be what the fuck gas prices are. Fuck you, assholes. Like, you know, as a paramedic, when I, you know, if I walk into someone's house and say, well, you know, like, yeah, it just is what it is. Like, fuck them. You know, like, well, maybe we'll do something. Maybe we won't. That's not going to work. That would make news at 11. Paramedic says he's not going to do fucking anything. Let the person fucking suffer and die. And that's what we're being told right now. And it doesn't end.
Yeah.
You know, and all these problems, there's no fucking solutions whatsoever being offered by anybody that is a elected, in place, a fucking cheated in, whatever the fuck it is, politician. There is no way forward that anybody is fucking proposing other than the American people. You just need to suck a big dick for longer. And we don't know how long that's going to be, because why we're pulling that money out of your ass to help control inflation. We're spending like we've never fucking spent before. It's the same thing we talk about, right? All the time.
Yeah, that's kind of our show.
It's like, where's all that going?
Yeah.
We're out here. Everybody is out here. All these different media things and YouTube channels. Everybody's fucking ringing the bell. And those assholes aren't doing a fucking, maybe because that's maybe their plan. That's the part of their plan. Right. So anyway,
no, I think the more the bell gets rung, the more they're going to be forced to pay attention to it. And I think personally, I want to kind of be ahead of the curve when all this, granted, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And I'm not going to stress out and, you know, freak out it's not going to ruin my day what these shitheads do, but I'm paying attention to it because I want to see where this shit is going. This Roe versus Wade stuff, all of this stuff that, you know, they've passed the buck for so long. They're not doing their damn jobs. And now that this stuff is going to start to unfold and start to happen and all that, with the privacy, with the tracking, with all of this stuff that could be on the table in the next decade or so, I want to see where it's all going to go. So, while there isn't a damn thing we could do about it, and until they're forced to, they're not going to do a damn thing about it, because for some reason, Ukraine is more important than the United States at this point. Ukraine is more important than any country in the world, it seems like, right now. And why is that? That's kind of my question with the whole thing. I understand they don't want Russia to get too close to NATO countries and all that, but I don't think that's the full story. That's my conspiracy brain going off there, but I don't think that's the complete story. So the fact that they're so full of shit all the time, it just concerns me, and it makes me, I feel like I need to pay attention to all the bullshit that's going on. So not that we can change anything, but maybe we can. Maybe with enough people bitching and screaming and doing this stuff, maybe some of them get voted out. I don't know. Hasn't worked before. Maybe there is a third party that starts to wreck the system. I don't know. I don't think they'll let that happen. So, yeah, I don't know.
No, probably not.
Yeah. But, well, I think I'm done with that then. I don't know. I think we're about 45 minutes, so I think we are going to get out of here tonight. My
go
voice
rest your COVIDness.
What's that?
You can go rest your COVIDness.
Yeah. My voice is starting to go anyway. So, and we actually made it through the stream. So I want to, my internet's been low a couple times. So I want to make sure and get out of here on a good note. But with that, we won't be here Tuesday. I've got some stuff I need to do on Tuesday morning, but we will be here Wednesday for the Blabbercast. Next week, we're going to be doing the after show. We're going to be doing the members meeting. If you aren't a member of the Bug Out location, you can go to thebugoutlocation.com. Be a member there. We do a conference call next week. White Rabbit is going to do a little show and tell for us, show some of the stuff that she's got going on. So with that, do you have anything else tonight, Brian, before we get out of here?
No, thanks everybody in the chat. Appreciate it as always. Thank you.
All right. With that, everyone, we'll talk to you later. Take care and prepare.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.